Co-host Nolan Canova.
Today's episode, we're going to be discussing the Second Doctor, the earliest surviving serial of the Second Doctor, Patrick Troughton, Tomb of the Cybermen, from 1967, and originally aired September 2nd to 23rd in four parts in 1967. So this is an interesting one because this is pretty much when they found it in 92 in a TV station in Hong Kong. It had been 25 years since this thing had been seen by anybody. So of all the missing Doctor Who episodes, this was like the first one to be a complete episode found. This was a big deal, and I remember getting the VHS when this came out and just being super excited. I don't think it was the first Troughton I saw. I think that was Seeds of Death, but it was definitely cool to get this treasure like that. I remember having the VHS, which I probably still have somewhere, and just to see, I mean, this was legendary in the minds of people who remember to see it, Nolan. They remember it being this super great story, and some people, when they finally saw it again now, were kind of disappointed, and others were like, it is as good as I remember it. I mean, for me, in the early 90s as a teenager, this was awesome. But I'm an old fan, so let's get your perspective on this, seeing it for the first time, and kind of what you think of the Second Doctor as opposed to Hartnell, which I introduced you to first.
Yeah, just to remind everybody, I am not the uber fan that Terrence is, and while I'm not a newcomer to Doctor Who, this going through it chapter by chapter from the beginning is a new experience for me, and I'm being heavily educated into Who lore. Terrence lent me the DVD of this Patrick Troughton episode of Doctor Who, and I came away with it a little less impressed than I did with the William Hartnell Doctor Who. Troughton is a different kind of doctor, not bad, but not as irascible, as serious. He is not the father figure, the mad professor kind of doctor like William Hartnell was, but is a different kind of doctor. I would say the family tree that wound up in Tom Baker's lap came more from Troughton than from Hartnell. He is more comedy prone, a little goofier, still more or less in charge, but not as much as William Hartnell. Now, as far as the story goes, by the time Patrick Troughton took over the role of Doctor, the series had come quite a ways. You could tell there's a little bit more money behind this, and it is shot on film, not on videotape, so the aesthetics are a little bit different. The effects, the special effects, are still cheap in that charming kind of way. But the costumes are extremely cheap. They put the emphasis on story and fast-moving acting, and I would say the acting is about par, very consistent between the Hartnell episodes and Patrick Troughton. The Tomb of the Cybermen had a lot in common with the Daleks, and it looked like kind of 10 men from the Wizard of Oz wearing air conditioners around their necks and hanging in front of their stomachs with a similar kind of affected voice. The menace is very similar, and the story is kind of similar. I came into this feeling that I was missing something, and Terrence explained to me later that these Patrick Troughton episodes are not complete. I didn't see him from the first regeneration episode. Apparently nobody has for 50 years or 45 years. So he is introducing himself as the Doctor to somebody who's added on to the cast. Apparently somebody else in the story already knows the background, so it's a little jarring to come in mid-story like that, to me, kind of mid-story like that. So that's about my summary of that, Terrence. What else did you want to know?
We'll go in a little more. I want to add what I see my memories of Tomb of the Cybermen. First of all, Patrick Troughton is, I suppose at the time, it's kind of what was needed. You're into the late 60s already, and William Hartnell, as grouchy as he could be, and still somewhat anti-authority, was still kind of more, there's your grandfather. So they, I think they were looking for someone a little more younger. Troughton was a little younger. He's obviously got the sort of pseudo-mop top of the Beatles, and he looks very disheveled, and he's known by many fans as the Cosmic Hobo. It's kind of how they describe his doctor. So it's a total drastic change, yes, but I think that's kind of what kept the show going, was if you're going to change an actor, he's got to be either to par to Hartnell. He can't be impersonating Hartnell. He's going to have to be. And, I mean, it's a genius what they came up with, because they can continue the actors for as long as they want. So you have this idea that he can change, and he's got a different personality each time, even though he's the same guy with the same memories. They're almost kind of their own characters in a way, but they're still the same. They're the Doctor, and they remember the villains and the companions and all that business. And I really love Trout in this one, because he is very slapstick Chaplin-esque, so that's probably why they call him the Cosmic Hobo. But he also, there's moments where he's obviously very manipulative, and he manipulates the main bad guy, Klieg, the scientist, basically into opening the tomb for him. With, you know, I really wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that, even though these are calculations. I wouldn't do that. But he's obviously, he steps aside. He wants him to do it. He wants to know what's going on. Why, if they're going to open this tomb, he wants to be there to make sure the Cybermen don't get out of control. So he's very manipulative. And that scene with him and Klieg, when they're down in the tomb, and he tells them, oh, you could be, some kind of extent where he tells him, what is your plans? And he's like, I can control the world, this and that. And he's leading him on, and he just ends it with, oh, now I know you're really mad. I just wanted to make sure. That was just classic Trout, and that's, it's comical yet manipulative. And you see later aspects of that manipulation, like in the Seventh Doctor, as you'll eventually see, kind of where he's behind the scenes, you know, even using companions to get what he wants at that point. Much like Hartnell would do with sabotaging this TARDIS and all that. But I guess it's somewhat of a streak through all of them. The companions are... Yeah, Jamie was already there. He's from the Highlands of Scotland back in, like, 1600 or something is when he picked him up in another missing episode called The Highlanders. Victoria had just come on in the serial before, which is Evil of the Daleks, which is also completely missing. So she's, like, from Victorian time. So she's pretty much her first lone adventure with them. So you're right about that in noticing that she was new. The Cybermen themselves, this is kind of like, to me, the 60s Cybermen are the most, they aren't my favorite, but they're kind of the ones I think of when I think of Cybermen. And yeah, they do look like they're wearing like a refrigerator unit or something, like an air conditioned unit. But they have those great handles on their head and the voice modulators, you know, that great cliffhanger.
Are they related to the Daleks?
No, just give you a brief overview, or people don't know. Cybermen are from the planet Mondas in William Hartnell's final episode, where he would regenerate into Troughton. Mondas, and it's called the 10th planet. Mondas is an exact replica of Earth. It's headed for Earth. It's going to basically destroy itself when it passes Earth, so they come in to try to invade Earth to use Earth. But the difference in Mondas and Earth is Mondas has replaced all their emotions, all their body parts with cybernetics to the point of where they still have humans in them, but they're very much don't have emotion. They're like robots, basically. So they're very chilling in this, and you have the little cyber mats. Those are quaint and cute. In a minute, I'll let you discuss what you think of the cyber mats, because it's always interesting. They look very Xanti Misfit-ish, Outer Limits to me.
I didn't really get their function. About that point, I think I was starting to nod off. They look like big mechanical rats. And I got the feeling they were put on, down on the floor to scurry around and cause confusion. Other than that, I saw no real function to them.
Well, it's curious what they are. Are they just robots? Are they their pets? What the hell are they? They look kind of like those undersea prehistoric, I forgot what you called those things, like horseshoe crab descendants, those type of things, what they remind me of. Trilobites. But what they, in later episodes you find out, not so much in this one, is they bite you, they infect you with something, and you pretty much die, like a virus. So what happened with the Cybermen by this episode is Mondas was destroyed in the 10th planet episode of Hartnell. This is a later part of their future where they've taken over a planet called Telos, and they've been locked in their tombs for whatever reason.
Now, tell the audience what you told me. The Klieg, I think is his name, the main bad guy, wants to take over the world. What was his notorious background?
The character or the actor? The actor, you probably notice him from a lot of Hammer movies, including The Mummy, where he's the Egyptian priest who raises Christopher Lee's mummy up to attack everyone. He himself gets killed. And he's in at least one or two more Hammer movies. So I notice him from a lot of British things. Any other TV shows, I'm not sure, but I definitely remember him from Hammer movies, that distinctive face. The other cast was good. Like, I'll let you mention here in a minute the American guy, or the pseudo-American pilot who's always like, right! Right, Vicky! So, yeah, I think it's a really, to me, it is, I don't know if it's, I came upon, oh my god, this is a missing episode, and I finally saw it, and it feels more classic to me than it would someone else. It's definitely, I want you to go into, do you feel it's more adult than a Hartnell, more scary? Because this is the point where they would call Trout and stuff the monster episodes, where it was always a monster every week, or a base under siege, and that was like the formula. But I really love the episode, and we'll rate it here in a minute, and I think all the cast was good. I love Jamie as a companion. The way he plays off Trouton is amazing. The good comic timing. And they would have a lot of hijinks off set where they pull pranks on all the actors. Like, they were... It's a whole thing. In fact, to the point to where the audios now, where they... the Big Finish audios, they resurrect some scripts that were never made during the Trouton era, and Jamie actually does a Trouton impersonation. The actor who plays Jamie, which is dead on. So they got very close as far as working together, but...
You remind me of the Brit actor who was playing an American. That was an unintentionally funny thing. Where you have seen American TV shows with one guy obviously playing a Brit, and the audience we really can't tell the difference. But a genuine Brit probably would, not guaranteed, but probably would. Well, in this episode, there is a. What to my ear was a British actor playing an American, and it was kind of funny because kind of obvious and not obvious at the same time. He was very affected in his. It was almost like he was trying to play like a cowboy rodeo for decades and decades. The quintessential image of an American around the world was a cowboy, complete with a hillbilly accent a little bit, you know. This one was like the mounted, what is that, the mounted police, what's...
Canadian.
The Canadian mounted police, ironically not American, but Dudley Do-Right. If I had to, like, put my finger on one, is almost like Dudley Do-Right of the Mountie. You know, he, not quite that exaggerated, but kind of put on exaggerated burlesque that it was... a Brit doing an imitation of what he thought an American should sound like. And I thought that was kind of funny. If you don't care or not only kind of half paying attention, he might come off as like a Southwestern American, which I guess is a big compliment to the actor. But it's just something about it just didn't ring true. I thought it was kind of funny. You're right about the chemistry. What was the...
Jamie,
yeah, it's just it was very good. It wasn't among my top favorite, but it was consistent and kept the universe of Doctor Who universe consistent.
So, if I was to rate Tomb of Cybermen, I think of all Troutons that are out there, and I know you don't know all of them yet, but I would say it's a quintessential to see his type of Doctor. And I think it's a good four-parter that's not too long, and it's got Cybermen, and it does start to bog down by part three, where they're still stuck in there, and they're doing the typical running around in corridors, which is Doctor Who's infamous for, the padded episode three. But it's pretty good, and imagine if you're a kid in the 60s, a Cyberman, that cliffhanger, you will be like us, you will become like us, and it just ends. That had to be scary, I imagine, as a kid back then, the modulated voice, and... So they were very timid, and they're always very tall guys playing Cybermen, and I think it was a really cool episode. It was kind of the beginning of Doctor Who using classic horror tropes, in this instance a mummy movie, about going in tombs and, you know, the mummies coming alive. They do a lot more of that by the time you get to Tom Baker, where you start seeing vampire movies and Hammer and Frankenstein movies and stuff, not spoofed, but used into science fiction elements. So I would definitely give it out of four, I would give it a four.
Really, you give it your top rating, really?
Yes, I
would.
Out of the ones you've seen...
Out of the very limited ones I've seen, I give it at most a three. And as far as your question about, by this point, is it more intended for adults or for children. I would say it has moved a little bit more into adults, but it's still very accessible to children. At the time it came out, you know, the hit shows in America were Lost in Space and Batman. And are those adult shows or children shows? You know, well, you could kind of debate that because it's basically family shows. But there's a lot of kidding going on, but there's a lot of wink-wink at the adult audiences, too. So out of four, I'd give it at most a three.
Okay, I think that sums it up. Although I do want to add, because I always want to say this, is people watching it, it may get them to want to go see it. The second, and one of the first times you ever hear him mention it besides Susan, pretty much most of the series, he mentions to Victoria when she's missing her dad, that the Daleks killed, and missing her family and life. She says, do you ever have a family? He goes, I can remember my family anytime I want. All I have to do is close my eyes and they're there. It's a very touching moment that Troughton could pull off that Hartnell quite didn't, couldn't quite do those kind of moments that just added extra humanity to it. It was really good that I think other doctors pick up on later. But that's our show. You should check it out. If you've never seen a Troughton, this is the one I suggest. And Nolan gave it a three. So if you're unfamiliar with the show, kind of like him, that's a good recommendation, too. Now, there's not a lot of Troughtons left, Nolan, so next month we're not going to be covering another Troughton. We're going to save those. We're going to cover a Pertwee. You're entering the world of what I call the James Bond Doctor. A lot of gadgets and more like a Sherlock Holmes character. I'm going to go ahead and be ambitious. I'm going to say we're going to do two next month. If we don't get to it, then you just have to be disappointed, folks. But we're going to try to do Spearhead from Space. But we're not, it's his first one, but we're not going to do his second one after that. I'm going to, because his couple after that, his first season, aren't representative of Pertwee. Necessarily, they're very experimental, they're more like hardcore science fiction stuff. We'll get to those later. I'm going to skip to his beginning of his next season, introduces more of the regulars of his tenure and a villain that you will appear again and again that you will see. So, next month, we will cover Spearhead from Space and hopefully also Terror of the Autons. Until then, keep watching Doctor Who, and catch us next time.
And for contact information, for any questions or anything like that, send an email to terrence@crazedfanboy.com. Until next time, I'm Nolan Canova.
See you later, folks.